We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com.
Just absorb it in this presence of God. Just absorb His peace. Receive it. It's a free gift. Lord, I ask that you baptize your people with joy.
Holy Spirit,
baptize your people with love, with peace, with hope.
On me.
Let the fruit of the Spirit grow in us. Let us be patient and gentle and kind. Lord, let your goodness come out of us. Let nothing else come out of us but you, Jesus. Don't move past this time with God where He wants to speak to you. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. If there be any wicked way in you, oh, not me. If there be any wicked way in you, you confess it to Jesus today. Let this be a time of repentance. If you need to say, I need to turn from some things in my life, I need to give them up. Yes. There is a anointing for forgiveness today. I can say that confidently. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. There is a freedom for forgiveness today. But it also requires something of us. It requires us repenting, admitting to our evil ways. Oh, I'm not evil. Well, just call it what it is. Lord, we repent. We say, forgive us. Forgive us. If there be any wicked way in me, let it be gone. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. I can't walk this walk by myself. I need the helper. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the advocate. I need the paraclete. I need the comforter, the counselor. Would you wash over us today? Lord, I yield to you. This is a holy moment in your week. The whole week is full of heaven touching earth, but sometimes we don't see right. We don't see heaven touching earth. Lord, we want to touch you. Lord, we need you. Lord, we reach out to you. Lord, we seek you with all of our hearts. If we seek you with all of our hearts, we will find you. Your word says, I'm waiting, I'm knocking, I'm here. I want to meet with you. God would say to you, the Spirit of the living God would say, I want to fall fresh on you. I want to come alongside you. It doesn't take any coercing. It doesn't take any equation, any formula. It just takes surrender. We're going to start the day with surrender. We're going to end our time today with surrender as well. I much rather the Holy Spirit be the teacher today than I. Yes, he can use our words, and I ask that you use my words today. But would you just minister in this room, Holy Spirit? You came to church for a reason today. Don't leave here without sensing God, sensing what he says to you. The rest of the worship team, you guys can go find your group or be seated, do what you need to do. Would you just stay and play, Paul? Would you do something in your posture? Maybe it's a physical posture. Maybe it's a posture, an attitude that just says, okay, I'm ready to receive from you, Jesus. I'm ready to receive from you. I know Jesus' disciples were nervous when he's talking about, like, well, when I leave you, I might leave you. When I go, and they're like, oh, man, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I'm going to switch to this mic here. Leave us. You're going to leave us, God? You're going to leave us, Lord Jesus. You can't leave us. We've been on this earth with you. You know how hard it is even with you. We cry all through the storms, and you're right there in the boat with us. Don't leave us. But when I leave you, don't worry. Don't fear. And the guys were, I'm sure they were like, I don't want to hear this. One thing he said, though, and I'm going to read more of it later, but John chapter 14. He could see the future. I'm sure Jesus is prophetic, wouldn't you believe? He's got the Holy Spirit with him. He could see them hiding out in the upper room with the doors closed when they found out Jesus died. He could see them looking out their window, making sure no one was coming for them next. And he said this, I will ask the Father, verse 16 of chapter 14 of John. Maybe you could put it up on the screen. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you for a couple of weeks while I'm leaving this earth. No, he says forever. Verse 17. The Spirit of Truth. That's who he's sending. The world can't accept him. Yeah, we've seen it. Even 2,000 years ago, they were, who is this? What is this about? We know Jesus. We've heard of the Father. Who is this Holy Spirit? The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. I want you to look around. You don't have to look all over, but do you see the Holy Spirit? Do you see him? I've never seen the Holy Spirit. I've seen the effects of the Holy Spirit. There's a place that Jesus compares the Spirit of God or the presence of God on this earth like a wind. It blows where it wants to blow. I've been in services, and you have too. Probably, if you've been part of serving Jesus in the amount of time where you sense the Holy Spirit in a room so strong. I'm even embarrassed to say, I mean, I'm not embarrassed, but it just was, I felt foolish. But I felt like at times I was waiting in the presence of Jesus. It was so strong in different places. So this world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That was, of course, before the Holy Spirit came in Acts 2. Then when it came, it turned the world upside down. Hundreds were saved, thousands were saved. And the church was persecuted and cut down and killed, and it still grew, and it still grew, and it still grew. Until here we are today, and we're still seeing God build his church, and the gates of hell cannot stand against it. Lord, we thank you for your church, not your church, but for your church all over the world that is serving you. It's such a difficult time I don't know how to explain it rather than just to talk from the cuff. Am I okay? I'm going to talk from the cuff, and when I do that, I sometimes get myself in trouble. Oh, I'm going to listen now. It's a weird time, right? Because everyone wants to come to church, but some can't. Some are afraid to come to church, some of you. Some of you say, no, I'm not afraid. I don't have any fear. I'm just using wisdom, okay? That's true. Talk to my parents. They're not going to church too often. They're being careful. California's a little bit more crazy. I'm telling you, I'm just talking for the... And so I'll encourage people. I'll say, well, you need to be with God's people. You need to be here in this atmosphere. And then someone might say to me, might or will, well, I can't. Don't tell me I'm not a Christian because I don't go to church. I don't go to church. I am the church. I'm doing church at home. And I say, yeah, that's true. I'm with you 1,000,000%. I know that church at home is not the same as church with people. And it's just true, right? I watched church at home for many months, and I felt like I had a little touch of God at home. But it requires me spending time with Jesus every day, of course. But I like that extra Sunday power from the Holy Spirit that comes through corporate worship. So I say this. I want to comfort those who are watching you who aren't here, that you, only you, can make your decision where you should be. Stay home if that's what you should do. But if you're feeling a pull that you need to be here, and you feel like you can do that, you can make that happen, do it. Sometimes it's even fearful. Step out in faith and do that. Not that if you don't come, see, I told you I'll get myself in trouble. That means if you don't come, you're not stepping out in faith. No! The devil would love to just mix all this up and get people mad at each other. I honestly haven't had anyone mad at me. I don't know how, but I do have people ask me questions, but no one's been mad. And the devil's not doing that great a job, I guess. But he would love to confuse. So I say to you, don't be confused at home. I would say, God's big enough to meet you where you're at, obviously. But when you're ready to come, come. But if you're not ready, don't. But I will say this, okay? This is one thing I was thinking. It'll hurt someone's feelings. But if you are, though, out and about, okay? You're out and about every day. You're working. You're going to school. You're going to the store, going to restaurants, ask yourself, this is not meant to be sensitive to you. Don't be offended. But ask yourself, what's the most important thing in my life? What's my priorities? If I'm able, and maybe you would say it's different when you come to church because you're more face-to-face with people. You don't have to be face-to-face. There's many people here wearing masks during church. Everyone has to wear masks before church and after when they're around people. You could come early. You could come late, leave early. You don't have to touch or talk to anyone. We keep it very safe. But I would say this, if you should be here, then you should. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Okay, everyone love each other. Do you love me? Do you love God? We're not letting the Holy Spirit, or we're not letting the devil confuse. No confusion out there today. I could write what I wanted to say down, but I thought I'll just talk. Anyone else want to add to it? Anyone have a word you want to share that could be dangerous? I'm open. We're all one big happy family. Write in your comments right there. Here's the good news, I believe. Some of the best news is that God is with us, yes. But I see an end to this. I see bright days coming ahead. And I don't believe I'm just being an optimist. I do see bright days when we'll be through this. And we're going to see God work in this place like never before. People are going to be coming in here who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are lonely, who are church people. And they're going to need love. Then there's going to be those who come in here who are searching. And they're going to need Jesus. And they've never tried out church. But they've done it 6 times during the pandemic online. And they said, once this comes to a time when I can come, I'm going to go. So I would encourage you to not treat church like a country club. Although we do like to have fun and we are family, treat it like an emergency room. Not a sad, scary place, but a place when people come in that you make sure. I do it. I have no problem doing this, but some of us maybe need some coercing. Make sure that you know that you're an ER doctor and you need to go to that person and bring them welcome, bring them love, bring them hope, bring them joy. All right? You are officially frontline workers as people come into this place, because I believe that through this pandemic, God didn't necessarily even allow it to happen. The devil does things and he has powers, and they won't go there, but God will work through it, and it would be a waste, wouldn't it? As I went back and watched March and April, some of the things we talked about, it would be a waste to see us go through this whole time without letting God do something different and new and amazing in people's lives, that he works something fresh and works something more powerful than we've ever seen, right? I would love to see that, not just in me, not just in you, but wouldn't you like to see people find Jesus in a more powerful way than they ever have before? Amen. Amen. Thank you, my brother. We closed last week. Everybody smile. Look around the room. Look around and wave at everyone. Some of you don't want to shake hands or hug, but you can certainly smile, wave, or lift your eyes so they know that you're smiling under your masks. Amen. Those at home, look at your family and smile at them. They probably need it. Yeah, I should explain that to you, my brother. One of these days I will, but I'm online right now, so I can't talk to you about it. But anyways, we closed last week by saying the hope we have and the interference around us is to hear the voice of God. We've been talking about interference all around us. I didn't realize there would be so much interference in our lives, no matter where you stand on all kinds of things. Do you feel like you're being interfered with? Your thoughts, they're going 100 different directions. Some are confused, some are afraid. And to hear the voice of God, we must hear it through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. About once a year, we go through the subject, of the Holy Spirit, but it's not a subject. He's a person. He's with us every day, and he's why we have church for many reasons. Many get worried when we talk about a subject like this. Probably many of you are excited, but some people get worried. And I'm here to tell you that there's nothing more real and relatable to your life than the Holy Spirit. We will not take one step as a church without him. We will not. We must listen to him. We must hear what he says to us. And at times we might miss him, but we are never going to be guilty. Not just here at church, but all of us in our own lives, right? Never be guilty of missing him on purpose because we didn't want to hear him. Yes, there are weird things that people do when they let their flesh lead in seeking the Holy Spirit. I've seen all kinds of like really weird things. And I've seen some weird things that are very real. I've seen some weird things that are very made up and fabricated. But the bigger problem, I think, in the church is not an overemphasis. Oh, man, people need to stop emphasizing the Holy Spirit so much. No, the biggest problem in the church, God's church, all around the world, especially in America, is the underemphasis of the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced that probably one of the enemy's greatest tactics in America, in the United States, is to lull us to sleep. You're going to sleep. Watch the pendulum, right? Lull us to sleep. If he can keep the sleeping giant, the church, if he can keep us asleep, if he can keep us probably, I don't know if this is the right word, but bored about the Holy Spirit, or maybe callous of the Holy Spirit, then he can keep us from accessing the most powerful part of God's being in us. He has got this tool that he's given us. I leave this with you, the most powerful tool. If he can keep us from accessing it in our lives, he will keep us from really doing too much good stuff in the world. And he's lulled the church to sleep. And that is why we need to always remember to talk about the Holy Spirit. He is part of the Trinity, God the Father. Now, this is review for some of you. Some of you would say, yes, I know this. But I think it's almost like an honor thing. Let's honor the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about who he is to us. Let's remind those who don't. And some people that have been new to the church in recent days maybe don't even know that God, he's part of the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is here on earth as God's presence. The Holy Spirit has been with us since the beginning. I'm not going to, oh man, are we starting at the very beginning? No, we are for a minute, but I won't belabor it. But Genesis chapter 1, can you put it up there? The very first verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was everywhere over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit, capital S, of God was hovering over the waters. The Holy Spirit is a creative being. He's the part of the Godhead that helped create the universe. We read about the Spirit of God in the New Testament, but we do read about him in the Old Testament as well. The Spirit came upon Saul. Do you remember that? And then he left him. The Holy Spirit anointed David's harp to play for Saul, to make him, this other spirits go away, didn't he? The Holy Spirit is spoken about by David in his song when he says, would you not take, when he sinned, he felt conviction. He felt maybe a bit of guilt, and he said, take not the Holy Spirit, take not the Spirit from me. The Spirit gave Joseph power to rule. It took him many years to get to that point, but it was the Spirit that got him there. The Spirit gave Gideon the power to win in the victories that he had. Great story in the Bible. The Spirit conceived Jesus in Mary's womb. What we celebrate Christmas. We can't have Christmas without the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary and making Jesus literally in her womb. And of course, we know the Spirit was on Jesus all through his life. He did some amazing things on this earth, including one day, I don't know if you knew this, he died. Did you know that? He died for 3 days on the third day. And I'm not making light, but I'm just making sure you're alive. On the third day, Jesus came alive. And it says, I say this again and I say this often, that same Spirit, Jesus said, dwells in us. It's the resurrection power that is in us. The Holy Spirit was the part of God that literally drew you to Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5. The Holy Spirit was the part of God that drew us to Jesus. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Look at Titus 3, 5. The Holy Spirit led us to begin a relationship with Jesus. You say, oh, I'm not sure if I want to believe in the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure if I want what he has. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't know Jesus without him. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, obviously, but because of his mercy. He saved us through here comes something a little bit weird, the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It's the same conversation that Nicodemus had with Jesus. He said, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? It was through the power of the Holy Spirit that he takes what was. You know that Jesus doesn't just clean us up. He makes us a completely new person. We're a completely new person. Jesus, would you come into my heart and live with me? I will promise to serve you. I accept you as my Lord. You are the Lord of my life. Then Jesus regenerates us. He renews us. It's a rebirth. We get born again. And that only comes not through, it can't come through physical, through the eyes. It comes through the Spirit. That's why we have to always remind ourselves when we think we're not so great that, hey, I'm God's child. I'm a new creation. I am born again. I have to tell myself that because I certainly don't believe it sometimes. But the Holy Spirit did it for us. The Holy Spirit is in you now. One scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:16, that I learned as a kid. And it was in a song that we sang, know ye not, you are the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. It says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? We wonder, why can't we do certain things anymore that we did before? We are a temple. We are God's church. Wherever we go, God's Spirit is in us. He dwells in us. Respect it. Rever it. That's your body. Know that it is holy. My body, when I look in the mirror, doesn't look holy. It's God's temple. Take care of it. And some of Jesus' last words, and I shared them already with you. Before he left the earth, because he knew this would be something you would need. Before he said, go into all the world, he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. You're going to need him. I know 2020 is coming. You're going to need him. You're going to need him that day. John chapter 14, verse 25. Let's go to there. John chapter 14, verse 25 through 26. It says this. That's 16 and 17. Next one after that is John 14, 25 that I wanted to look at. After he said the Spirit of truth is coming, he said this in John chapter 14, verse 25. All this I've spoken while still with you, but the advocate, everybody say advocate, the Holy Spirit, I'm going to explain him to you, whom the Father will send in my name, that's a big statement, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. When you forget what the Bible says, when you're out in your day, the Holy Spirit is there to teach you and to remind you. Well, I don't get what you're doing, God. Well, go to the Holy Spirit and ask him, can you teach me? Can you show me what you're speaking? I've had probably the best encouragement from people who come to me and say, do you know what God shared with me this week? It's the Holy Spirit who had taught them something that I've read over and over and I've never understood it. And then they've said, this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to me, because he is a great teacher. The word advocate, what does it mean? It comes from the Greek word, you know, Thomas, parakletos. I speak Greek. I know a little Greek. He lives down the street from me. Parakletos, meaning a whole mouthful of encouraging things. You want to be encouraged? Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit is to you, what the paraclete is that Jesus says often when he calls the Holy Spirit the advocate. Let me just scratch the surface. He is your promoter when you're insecure. Anyone feel insignificant? Anyone feel insecure? Anyone feel less than? Anyone feel beat down? He's your promoter. He's on your side. He's your protector when you feel unsafe. That's one that we need right now, right? When you feel unsafe, he's your protector. You never have to feel like you don't have someone on your side when he's your protector. That's what advocate means. That's what paraclete means. He's your supporter when you feel alone. We ask you, Holy Spirit. I know that loneliness is rampant in our world right now. Let someone, maybe even that's here today, sense that you are supporting them, that you are with them when they feel alone. Parakletos means that he comes, literally comes alongside you. I think we talked about that last week. We're walking along and we wish we had someone next to us walking with us. Yes, he's walking right alongside you. That's pretty cool. That's what we need. The Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, will teach you when you don't understand. He will convict you when you are in sin. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a tough one. I wish he didn't convict, but he does. He doesn't condemn, but he does convict. That's why when you do something wrong, that you know it's wrong. Because the Holy Spirit convicts you. Because not because he doesn't want you to have freedom, it's because he does want you to have freedom. So he convicts you so that you will experience everything he has for you. And if we could just agree with him and do what he tells us, go where he leads us, we would all be better people. He's your counselor when you need advice. You can go to therapy. And that's good. You can go to counselors. That's great. But he is your counselor. Do you know that you could sit in the quiet of your house, in the simplicity of your bed or your living room or on a walk, and you could have a counseling session? Well, I don't know what to say. I don't know. Some of you can just let it all out. But even if you don't even say anything, he knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're thinking. You could just sit there with him in his presence on a walk, playing some light instrumental music. That's what I like to do. And just let him counsel you. Lord, would you, Holy Spirit, would you lead me and guide me into all things? It even says in the scripture that sometimes when you pray and you, sometimes I pray and I don't pray the right stuff. Sometimes I just pray and it's kind of just words like that just sound good. And I know I'm not reaching your heart. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, will literally speak words to God for you. He will intercede for you. When you're praying and you're praying the wrong, he prays for you. He's awesome. He's just amazing. He's got your back. He makes you mature when you're not mature. He prays for you. And then he's your comforter when you're hurting. Would you comfort us when we're hurting? We all need it. It's nice to hear this. I don't know. You know, you hear the music, and that comforts you. But even without the music, when the music's gone, when there's no people around, you can just sit in the stillness and the quiet, and he can comfort you. His Holy Spirit is here right now. You're here right now. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you bring comfort. We receive from you today. We wait on you and you renew our strength. Tell you it's awkward for you, isn't it? On purpose, if I sit and wait for a minute, it's a bit. We can't wait. We can't stop. We don't like to wait. We don't like to rest. We don't like to be still. Eastern meditation has got something right that they stole from the Hebrews. That they meditate, that they reflect. They take a time in their day. I think some religions is like 3 or 4 times a day. They have to stop everything they're doing, lay out their mat, get down on their knees and do their whatever they do. I think they would look at us and say sometimes, you're not that serious about your God like we are about Allah. You don't even take any time. You do it once. You do it one Sunday a month. You do it once a week. They do it 4 times a day. I think that would be something. I think we could have there's an equation for you. You need some peace. You need comfort. You need the counselor. You need the teacher. Spend 3 times. Spend 4 times. Spend 9 times a day, every hour on the hour, stop and seek the Holy Spirit. Well, I think it's even possible to do that even while you're driving. Did you know that? More than ever have I during this time, whenever my mind goes somewhere else that it shouldn't. Interference. And it could be anger, wrath, all this kind of stuff. It could be sadness, fear, worry. It could be sin, right? Every time you go there, I say, Holy Spirit, I need you. And what I do is I speak in tongues. And we'll talk about that a different week. It's a gift that some people receive when they receive the Holy Spirit in their lives, just like there's many other gifts, prophecy and words of knowledge and all kinds of things. When I don't know what to pray, I just speak in tongues. And if you don't have that gift, seek it. But if you don't have it, just say, Jesus, I need you. I need your help. Change my mind here. Change my mind. Okay. Let's move quickly. Do you ever, actually, no, I won't move too quickly. We'll be out of here at our time. But I got to ask you, do you ever feel like you haven't really tapped into the advocate? Do you ever feel like you haven't really tapped into all of these things? Like, I've served Jesus, I know who he is, but I haven't tapped into it. 16:7 of John 14, one last thing Jesus says. Very truly I tell you, John 16:7. Very truly I tell you, in other words, you got to be listening because I'm telling you something that's very important. That's what he says when he says, very truly I tell you. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And then he certainly did. He sent him, and he's here. Ever wonder why you still struggle so much with sin? Ever wonder why you struggle so much with your habits? Ever wonder why you struggle so much with fear? With courage? With strength? Ever wonder why you still wrestle with not having restful sleep or not having a restful day? I'm just unrest. I'm in unrest. We are filled with the power of the world's news instead of filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we wonder why when we're filled with it, what comes out is fear and pressure and stress. Hear this. Even though the Holy Spirit is all these things that we've talked about, it's possible to live a spirit-less life instead of a spirit-filled life. We want a spirit-empowered life, walking and parting the Red Sea as we walk. We want this in our life. We want to walk knowing that he's with us and guiding us and see miracles around us and have the strength to encourage those that we see and be able to text someone and know the right words to say. You know that the Holy Spirit can do that for us. And sometimes you wonder, why are they crying after I just said something simple? The Holy Spirit gave it to you. But you must be filled with the Spirit, not spiritless. And before we close and take some time to seek the Holy Spirit for a few moments, can I suggest three reasons we sometimes live a spirit-less life instead of a spirit-filled life? They're very quick. And maybe you want to write some of these things down. The first one you don't need to write down. The first one is this. Reasons we sometimes live a spirit-less life instead of a spirit-filled life. Some forget. That's why Jesus impressed on us to talk about it for this month. Number two, some are just not aware. I wasn't aware. I didn't know. There's nothing more sweet and precious than when someone experiences Jesus for the first time in his love. I remember I was at many different times I've seen this, but one sweet girl, she was about 18, and she, her mom came to me between services at church, and they said, can we go into the sanctuary, and could you pray for her to receive the Holy Spirit, because she says she wants it. She just asked Jesus into her heart. She wants the Holy Spirit. They didn't ask for, like, this. It wasn't like a big Pentecostal thing. They said, just pray for her. So we went into the, they wanted to go in the sanctuary. We went in the sanctuary, and we prayed over her. And I remember saying, Lord, Lord, let your love surround her. Let her be baptized in your love. Let her be baptized in your love. And about 30 minutes later, she stopped crying. Fell apart, it seemed like. But it, what was happening was that all of the brokenness was being healed because she didn't have a father growing up. And she began to speak in tongues, and she began to cry, and she began to smile, and she began to be excited. And probably 10 years later, I remember she texted and said, remember that day when God came upon me? It's the sweetest thing to see someone for the first time experience when they're not aware. Another reason we live a spirit-less life, and this is the only other one I'm going to share. A spirit-less life versus a spirit-filled life. Some forget, some are unaware, and then some resist or quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul tells the people, because they were getting too worldly. Not that we ever are that way, but if it was, we would apply it to us. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Some reasons. Would you come forward? The worship team, you could all come up, actually, if you're here in the room. Some reasons he's quenched because of interference, right? Distractions all around us. I've seen the Holy Spirit extinguished in a group of people or in one person because of one interfering thought that they were thinking about. Lunch, dinner, sports, whatever, right? One interfering thought can keep us, can interfere with us and quench the Holy Spirit. Another reason, a hardened heart. Why would never harden my heart to the Holy Spirit? When you're afraid, when you're not open, when you avoid him, when you ignore him, all these are reasons that you have a hardened heart, that you're callous to him. Don't ignore him when he's there. As Saul asked David to play the harp, I will ask you to play your piano. And if you want to go to that song we just sang, or you want to go to the other song, you just decide. What song is it going to be?
Here Again.
Let us never have a hardened heart or avoid you or be distracted from you. Another reason is sin. Ephesians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 5, it all talks about how sin can keep us from walking a spirit-filled life. Do not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, but yield to the Holy Spirit. I've seen the Holy Spirit smothered. I would say smothered because we're talking about being quenched. It's almost like a fire that's quenched when you pour water on it, when your neighbor finds out you are doing a fire and you shouldn't. I've seen the Holy Spirit smothered in a church service in 1 second because of someone's callousness or lack of openness or receptivity or a leader's missed words. That's why for me it's so that I want to be so careful not to say the wrong thing or to say too much or to say what I'm thinking instead of what the Holy Spirit's thinking. I've seen the Holy Spirit quenched in a service. This is going to bring a lot of pressure on you. When everyone else is in tune in the room, but one person is not. Like, dude, I didn't come to church to don't put that pressure on me. I don't want to be the reason that someone doesn't raise from the dead because I wasn't listening. But it's like that story of Achan's sin. There was one guy that sinned in the camp. And I know this is Old Testament stuff, but the Spirit could not do anything in their midst. He could not bring victory because of the one sin till they brought this person together and they stoned him. Now we're in the New Testament. We're in the New Covenant. We need forgiveness. You're here in the room. We're just here for just a few more minutes. But if you're here in the room and you have sin, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. If you're at home and you have sin, this is your time. You don't turn off the live stream now. You probably can't even see the live stream. I don't know today. If you can, don't turn it off because you think God can't see you. Don't raise your hand. Anyone have any sin that you need to repent of? Where are you at? Can you take a posture of receiving right now? I'm going to close with a few thoughts. We're going to sing this song. It talks about coming to a place of surrender where we ask God to meet with us. You can sing or you can listen. But ask the Holy Spirit where you find yourself today. Uninterested, resistant, callous. Maybe because you haven't seen a move in a long time. Maybe bad packaging has caused the Holy Spirit to be dangerous to you. Don't let the past dictate what God wants to do in your life in the present because someone misinterpreted or misrepresented who the Comforter is. Receive him today.
Oh,
Take 3 or 4 minutes. We want more of you, Jesus. We want more of you, Jesus. Would you tell him that today? Would you tell him, I'm not enough, not enough, unless you come? Would you meet us here again? Not enough, unless you come. All you are, all I am, is all you are. We surrender. Oh, we surrender to you. We surrender. We surrender. Just a minute, just a minute. Declare that he is in this place, not just in this church, but in this church. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Wherever we go, you go. Wherever you go, we go. Wherever we go, you go. We need you with us. Lord, I pray you minister all over this room, in homes, in families, in marriages, in sickness, in fear, in loneliness. Minister.
Minister. Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com and become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.